Eugene slowly opened his eyes, the bright hospital lights making his head throb. He blinked, trying to adjust, and saw Olga sitting beside him, her eyes full of concern, her fingers gently holding his hand. The events from the last few hours felt surreal to him, like a haze he couldn't quite clear from his mind. His chest felt tight, and he instinctively reached for the site where the device had been implanted. Olga gave him a soft smile, but he could see the exhaustion in her eyes. "Hey," she whispered, her voice trembling slightly, "how are you feeling?" "Like I just went through a hurricane," Eugene mumbled, his voice scratchy. "What happened? How long was I out?" Before Olga could respond, the door opened softly, and Dr. Williams, electrophysiologist who had performed the procedure, stepped into the room. "Ah, you're awake," Dr. Williams said, his tone warm but professional. "Eugene, Olga, I want to go over the next steps now that we're at the post-implantation phase." Eugene looked up, his anxiety palpable. "What's next, Doc? What happens now?" Dr. Williams pulled a chair closer to the bed, his calm demeanor bringing a sense of comfort. "First, Eugene, I want you to understand that the device we've implanted is already working. It's actively monitoring your heart, but it hasn't been activated fully yet." Olga leaned in, her brow furrowing. "Activated? What does that mean? Is it going to shock him now?" "No," Dr. Williams reassured her, "not yet, but we will be activating it in the next 48 hours, after we run a test to ensure that everything is working correctly. The device will be programmed to deliver two types of shocks depending on what it detects in your heart rhythms." Eugene's heart raced at the mention of shocks. "Two types of shocks? What do you mean?" Dr. Williams nodded, maintaining eye contact. "Yes, Eugene, the device is designed to treat two specific conditions, tachycardia and ventricular fibrillation. For tachycardia, which is a fast but relatively regular heartbeat, the device will deliver a light shock to help bring your heart rate back to normal. This shock will feel like a sudden jolt, but it's not going to be painful. It's just enough to reset your rhythm." Eugene swallowed hard, his hands trembling slightly. "And the other kind of shock? The heavy one?" Dr. Williams' expression softened, knowing the gravity of Eugene's fear. "The second kind of shock is much stronger. It's for ventricular fibrillation, which is when your heart goes into a chaotic, disorganized rhythm that doesn't allow it to pump blood effectively. This type of shock is much more powerful, designed to reset your heart completely, essentially stopping it momentarily to give it a chance to start beating normally again. This will be more intense, but it is extremely effective at saving lives in those situations." Olga looked at Eugene, her face pale with worry. She had seen him so close to death before, and the thought of a shock, no matter how necessary, made her feel sick. "But will he feel it?" she asked, her voice shaking slightly. "Is he going to be in pain?" Dr. Williams nodded reassuringly. "During this testing process, Eugene will be sedated. You won't feel anything when we induce these rhythms in the lab, Eugene. You'll be asleep, so you won't experience the shock at all. The goal is just to make sure that the device works and can detect arrhythmias and respond appropriately." Eugene closed his eyes for a moment, processing the information. "So, you're going to put me under again? How long will it take?" "Yes," Dr. Williams explained. "You will be sedated, just like during the procedure. The test will be quick and we'll monitor everything carefully. Afterward, you'll wake up and we'll check how the device responded. If everything works as it should, we'll send you home with the reassurance that your ICD is fully functional and ready to protect you." Eugene took a deep breath. "And what if something goes wrong?" "Nothing to worry about," Dr. Williams reassured him. "The device is designed to be fail-safe. The test will ensure that it's ready for any situation, and after that, we'll monitor you closely during follow-up visits to make sure it continues working perfectly. You'll be safe, Eugene. You're in good hands." Olga nodded, but she still couldn't shake the feeling that the weight of the situation was too much for her to handle. The stress was already beginning to take its toll. She felt a wave of fatigue wash over her, so deep and overwhelming that it almost made her dizzy. The adrenaline from earlier was wearing off, and the exhaustion hit her like a truck. She squeezed Eugene's hand, forcing a smile. "I'll be right here when you wake up. I won't leave your side." Eugene gave her a weak smile, his eyes filled with gratitude. "Thank you for everything." Dr. Williams stood up, giving them a final look of reassurance. "Just get some rest, both of you. The next 48 hours are crucial, but once we do the testing, we'll have a clearer picture. You'll be out of here soon." As Dr. Williams exited the room, Olga stood up to stretch her legs. She felt an overwhelming sense of fatigue, her mind racing with thoughts of what could happen next. She stepped into the hallway to get a moment alone, but as soon as she did, the exhaustion overtook her. Her body felt heavy, and the constant worry about Eugene's future, about what could go wrong, kept her awake even when her body begged for sleep. She leaned against the wall, her eyes closing briefly. But even in the silence of the hallway, she couldn't escape the constant thoughts churning in her mind. Back in the room, Eugene was already fiddling with his laptop, trying to distract himself from the tension in the air. His hands were still shaky, but he couldn't stop scrolling. He needed to feel like he was in control again, even if it was just for a few moments. Olga sat by Eugene's bedside, her fingers lightly tracing the edge of his hand, lost in thought. The soft beeping of the monitor was a constant, but her mind was somewhere far away, drifting back to the days before everything changed, before the procedure, before the complications, before she had nearly lost him. The heaviness in her chest weighed down on her, a mix of relief and dread. She looked at Eugene, who was still recovering from the sedation, his eyes closed. He seemed peaceful now, but she couldn't stop thinking about how fragile life had become. Her thoughts drifted back to when she first arrived in America, to that whirlwind of newness, excitement, and the unknown. It had only been a few months since she arrived on her fiancé visa, and those 3 months had been filled with precious treasures, the discovery of a new life, a new world, and most of all, a new adult Eugene. The rush of emotion was still fresh in her mind, as vivid as it had been on that very first day. He had wanted to show her everything, introduce her to a life that was so different from the one she had left behind in Russia. Food had been their first shared passion. They were always exploring new restaurants, trying dishes they'd never tasted before. From the salty freshness of sushi to the indulgent sweetness of pastries, each meal was an adventure. Eugene loved surprising her with new experiences. He had such a playful side, always coming up with something unexpected. Olga smiled softly at the memory of that one time he gave her edible lingerie with a strawberry flavor, served as a dessert teaser on a tantalizing iris bouquet, just to see her reaction. Olga thought his creativity knew no limits. Every day of that period was full of surprises and discoveries about each other. It was absurdly charming. And then there was the time he handed her a jar of chocolate body cream, something that felt both strange and intimate, an inside joke between them. It was these little things, these spontaneous gifts, that made her feel like she was always finding something new with Eugene. But it wasn't just food or odd gifts that filled their days. Eugene had a contagious energy that inspired her. He wasn't just a man who worked tirelessly. He had big dreams, big plans. He had always talked about starting his own software company. The idea of creating projects for banks, solving problems, and building something from the ground up, it all fascinated him. He talked about being his own boss, about carving out his path, and it was impossible not to get swept up in his passion. He took her to a tennis court one afternoon, the one downstairs from his building, and taught her how to play. She had never held a racket before, but Eugene was patient, encouraging her with each swing, each miss, each laugh. He'd been such a great tennis player as a child, and there was something about his enthusiasm that made everything feel possible. When her 3-month visa was nearing its expiration, Eugene didn't hesitate. He made an appointment at City Hall, determined to make sure she could stay with him. The paperwork was all signed, the vows were exchanged in the most intimate ceremony they could have imagined, and just like that, Olga became a permanent part of his life. They were married, and their future felt secure. But even then, things weren't as simple as they seemed. While Eugene was ready to continue building their life together, Olga was still at a crossroads. Her degree in biology, earned in Russia, felt distant and disconnected from the life she was trying to build in America. She had no clear path to follow. She wanted to work, but what could she do with a degree that felt so out of place in a new country? What was she supposed to do with her passion for understanding biological processes, for digging into evolutionary history when the world around her was so different from what she had known. Yet, amidst all the confusion, one thing remained clear in her heart. What she truly wanted, what she longed for most, was to start a family with Eugene. She dreamed of the quiet moments, the shared joy of raising children together, of making a home. That dream was as solid as the ground beneath her feet, and it was all she could think about. She wanted to be a mother, and the thought of building that life with Eugene filled her with warmth, despite the uncertainty surrounding her career. Now, sitting by his bed, Olga couldn't help but wonder how it all had come to this. From the carefree days of discovering new foods and new experiences together, to this moment of fear and uncertainty. She couldn't shake the nagging feeling that everything was shifting beneath them, and it terrified her. She wanted so desperately for things to return to that earlier time, when life was full of possibility, when Eugene was healthy and full of energy, when their biggest concern was where to eat next or how to win a game of tennis. But now, everything felt fragile. She squeezed his hand again, leaning closer to him. She could feel the weight of his exhaustion, the toll that this health scare had taken on him. How much more could they handle? As the months passed, life with newborn Zoe began to settle into a routine that at first felt comforting, but eventually it became predictable, even monotonous. Olga spent most of her days at home, watching her little girl grow and trying to be the best mom she could be for this miraculous little person. Eugene was often at work, absorbed in his projects, leaving Olga to manage the household. She had hoped for more time with him, but the weight of responsibility as a new mother filled every hour of her day. Olga tried to remember when the separation had started, when things between them began to shift, little by little, until they felt so distant. She couldn't pinpoint it, but it seemed like the gentle rhythm of their life had slowly turned into something more mechanical. Zoe was not a good sleeper. Olga did everything she could to get her to sleep soundly, often bringing Zoe into her own bed, but the little one would toss and turn, kicking and fidgeting. The movement would disturb Eugene, waking him up in the middle of the night. Eventually, Olga decided to make a bed for herself in the Zoe room, hoping that would help, but even then, the nights were restless. When Zoe was finally able to sleep on her own, Olga tried to return to their bed, thinking it would bring some sense of normalcy back. As if that wasn't enough, Eugene's snoring started to become unbearable. It had once been almost musical, a soft, rhythmic sound that she could ignore. But over time, it grew louder and more intrusive. What had started as a gentle whistle began to sound like a constant roar. Olga would lie awake, listening to him, and then there would be a long pause, followed by a choking sound. He'd stop breathing. The silence would hang in the air, thick and uncomfortable. She'd hold her breath too until he started breathing again, as if nothing had happened. She even used earplugs to block out the noise, but it didn't help. The snoring, the pauses, the choking, it all haunted her nights. One morning, after another night of interrupted sleep, Olga decided to record Eugene's snoring. She watched the video the next morning, feeling a knot form in her stomach as she saw his breathing stop. She showed him the video, but his answer was always the same. "I sleep fine. You can sleep in Zoe's room." His words were dismissive, as if he hadn't heard or noticed anything out of the ordinary. Olga glanced at the clock. It was time to pick up Zoe from school. She quickly tucked the phone into her pocket, mentally pushing aside the concerns about Eugene for the moment. The daycare teacher's words from yesterday echoed in her mind, and she hoped they could discuss things further. She made her way to the school, arriving on time to pick up Zoe. As she approached the teacher, Olga gently informed her about the situation at home, the stress of Eugene's health, the disruption in their routine, and the challenges of adjusting to life as a family. The teacher listened attentively, her expression empathetic. "I'm so sorry to hear that," the teacher said softly, her voice filled with concern. "But I've also noticed something with Zoe. Even before all of this happened, she seems to be having a really hard time participating in schoolwork. She doesn't follow directions well, and she tends to isolate herself from the other kids. She doesn't engage in outside activities, and she hardly talks to anyone." Olga's heart sank. She had hoped Zoe was adjusting better than she had realized, but hearing the teacher's observations only confirmed the worry she had been carrying. The teacher paused, looking thoughtful. Given everything going on at home, it might be helpful to meet with the school social worker. They can work with you to come up with a strategy to help Zoe adjust better to school. It might help her feel more comfortable and ease some of the anxiety she's feeling. Olga nodded, feeling a mix of relief and concern. She hadn't considered that Zoe's struggles might be tied to the stress at home, but it made sense. She agreed to meet with the social worker, hoping it would give them some direction in helping their daughter navigate this difficult time. As she left the school, Zoe's hand tightly clutched in hers, Olga couldn't shake the feeling that everything was spiraling out of control: her sleep, Eugene's health, Zoe's struggles. But she was determined to keep pushing forward, for Zoe, for Eugene, and for herself. Once home, Olga sank into the kitchen chair, feeling the weight of the day settle around her. Zoe sat at the table, trying to focus on her homework, but Olga could see the exhaustion in her daughter's eyes. They had both been running on empty for days. Olga barely had the energy to help, but she pushed through, thinking about the note she'd made in her journal the night before. Snoring, stop breathing at night. It had seemed like a simple observation, but something about it didn't sit right with her. The concern had grown in her mind, but she wasn't sure what to do with it. The article she had found and sent to Dr. Sokolina kept replaying in her mind, wondering if it held the key to something deeper. Suddenly, her phone buzzed, pulling her from her thoughts. She looked at the screen and saw a text from Dr. Sokolina. "When can I visit you and Eugene? When will he be discharged?" Dr. Sokolina was driving home, the familiar rhythm of the road giving her space to reflect. This was her time, a rare moment of stillness amidst the whirlwind of events that had brought her to this point. As she navigated the familiar streets, her thoughts wandered back to Olga and Eugene. She couldn't help but worry about them both. She thought about the challenges they were facing, about Olga's growing concern, and the strange connection that seemed to be unfolding before them. There was something deeper at play, something that pulled at her intuition. Dr. Sokolina thought about the first time she had met Olga, how Eugene had brought her to the office as a new patient. At the time, Olga had just moved from Russia, and they were looking for a new dentist. As soon as Olga walked in, there was something familiar about her, something that resonated with Dr. Sokolina, both from St. Petersburg, both with that intellectual, thoughtful approach to life. The way Olga spoke, with the rich cadence of the Russian language, charmed her immediately. There was an old-world elegance to her words, an intensity in her eyes that showed how deeply she thought about the world around her. After the consultation, Dr. Sokolina had offered Olga a position at her office. It was before Zoe was born, and though Olga had hesitated at first, the idea of working alongside someone who understood her background, who shared similar roots, felt like an opportunity she couldn't ignore. But it would take several years before Olga was ready to start. There were logistics to arrange: Zoe's daycare schedule, English language courses, and getting the necessary licenses to practice. It had been a slow and steady process, but Dr. Sokolina had admired Olga's dedication to building a life for herself in a new country, and she respected the thoughtful way she approached each challenge. Dr. Sokolina smiled to herself as she thought about the many conversations she and Olga had shared over the years. They didn't just speak the same language literally, they spoke the same language of curiosity, intellect, and a deep love for learning. They had similar upbringings, having both been raised in St. Petersburg, and there was an unspoken connection between them that went beyond words. One conversation in particular stood out in her memory. It had been just a few months ago when Olga had shared her thoughts on the differences between her education in Russia and what she had encountered in the United States. "I always thought that doctors in Russia knew so much more," Olga had said, her voice calm yet filled with conviction. "They understood the nature of diseases, the underlying causes, but they didn't always have the resources to treat them. Here, doctors focus on symptoms. If you have pain, they give you painkillers. If you have high blood pressure, they give you pills. But they don't always dig deeper. They don't look at the whole picture." Dr. Sokolina had nodded thoughtfully. That was such an exciting education in Russia, she had said, remembering the long hours in medical school, the exposure to various specialties, the comprehensive knowledge she had gained. We had all specialties for dentists, dermatology, general surgery, OBGYN, infectious disease. It was such a great exposure for young doctors. But during my education here, it was much more specialized toward dental medicine. I think I got the best of both worlds. But the most important thing isn't just the education itself. It's the desire to continue learning throughout your life. Science is never a closed book. Olga had smiled, clearly agreeing. It's a different kind of thinking here, isn't it? The way they focus so much on treating the symptoms and not on the whole person. Dr. Sokolina had paused, considering her words carefully. Exactly. The problems you try to solve for your patients, those are the things that teach you the most. Theoretical lectures can give you knowledge, but it's the experience, the hands-on learning that shapes you as a doctor. It's not just about solving problems in theory. It's about solving real problems for real people. That conversation had lingered in Dr. Sokolina's mind. She realized how much her own journey had shaped her perspective on medicine, on life, and on the kind of doctor she wanted to be. Her background had given her a unique approach, blending the broad, holistic perspective she had gained in Russia with the specialized knowledge she had acquired in the U.S. But more than anything, it was the ongoing process of learning, the commitment to growing as a doctor, as a person, that truly made a difference in how she practiced. And now, as she thought about Eugene's health struggles and the toll it was taking on Olga, Dr. Sokolina couldn't help but wish she could offer them more than just medical advice. She wanted to help them solve this, not just in theory, but in a way that would bring them both peace and healing. Dr. Sokolina had decided to visit Olga and Eugene once Olga sent her the text that Eugene was discharged. When she arrived at their elegantly decorated apartment, she was greeted by the sight of Eugene sitting on the sofa, looking more tired than she remembered. It had been several years since she had last seen him, a patient of the practice, yes, but one who had fallen off the radar due to the demands of work and life. Eugene had always been active and full of energy, but now he looked worn out, his features softened by weight gain and a noticeable lack of vitality. Dr. Sokolina took a moment to study him, her clinical eye quickly noticing the changes. He was no longer the lean, energetic man she had known years ago. His posture was slumped, his face drawn, as though the weight of exhaustion was bearing down on him. He greeted her with a tired smile, but there was little energy in his expression. He barely spoke, his voice hoarse from all the hospital manipulations. "I'm glad you're here," Eugene said, his words slow and deliberate. "I'm just going to rest. I'll be fine." He excused himself to the bedroom to sleep, and Dr. Sokolina noticed how he walked with his head jutting forward. Zoe was playing on an iPad. Dr. Sokolina turned her attention to Olga, who looked exhausted as well, her eyes red from lack of sleep and the emotional strain of the past few days. Olga led Dr. Sokolina to the kitchen, where they sat down together. "I don't know where to begin," Olga started, her voice thick with emotion. "I feel so guilty. I yelled at Eugene the night before the accident. I screamed at him for not helping around the house, for not being there for Zoe or for me. I didn't know what else to do. He's been so distant, and I've been carrying everything alone. I just snapped." Dr. Sokolina nodded, her expression compassionate. She understood how the weight of caregiving, especially in a relationship strained by health issues, could lead to such moments. "It's okay to feel overwhelmed, Olga. You're doing your best. It's important to give yourself some grace during times like these." Olga took a deep breath, then began to speak again, this time with clearer focus. She pulled out her phone and placed it on the table. "I've been keeping a diary, a medical diary of Eugene's health problems. I started recording everything a few days ago that I remember about Eugene's condition. I just need to make sense of it all." She opened the notebook and Dr. Sokolina scanned the pages. "Allergy. He is not able to breathe through his nose, period. I see him clearing his throat constantly. When I would ask, he'd say, 'Something is oozing back there.' He also complains of heartburn and takes Pepto-Bismol. Recently, he was diagnosed with high blood pressure, but he's only 42, so young. Now, in addition, Atrial and ventricular fibrillation, genetic predisposition. His parents both had similar issues. Besides the official diagnoses, he's been snoring, having interrupted breathing, constant tiredness, anxiety, and depression. For several months, I've noticed those scary memory lapse episodes and a complete absence of desire to do any physical activities. She paused for a moment, then continued. That's sad, but one thing that used to get under my skin before the episode, now it doesn't matter at all. He was so playful before Zoe was born, but after her birth, I was so focused and tired. We had this understanding to go through those difficulties together. But several years ago, I started to doubt if he even loved me. After I put Zoe to bed, I'd put on the old romantic movies we used to watch back in Russia, but Eugene would totally dismiss them and just fall asleep. After that heart episode, it all seemed so irrelevant. But physical closeness used to be important to me. It didn't matter that I wore lingerie he used to like, or the jokes and routines we used to do. Nothing worked. Olga paused, her fingers trembling slightly as she traced the words in the notebook. It's been like this for a while, and I can't ignore it anymore. I know something is wrong. He's been getting worse, and I don't know how to help him. Dr. Sokolina felt a deep empathy for Olga. She had seen the pattern before in patients, the slow, creeping accumulation of symptoms that were often dismissed or overlooked until they became too overwhelming to ignore. This was Eugene's story now, unfolding in front of her in these small, documented pieces. I was taught something in Russia, Olga continued, her voice steadying. We were always told to collect evidence, to look at the little things and see how they all fit together. I remember reading a book by Darwin on evolution, how he recorded his observations during his expeditions, especially in the Galapagos. His attention to detail, his ability to look at every small change, it reminded me of how I need to collect data to see the bigger picture. Dr. Sokolina sat back, her mind racing. Olga's approach reminded her so much of the way she had been trained in her first Russian medical school, to observe, to gather evidence, and to allow the pieces to form a coherent narrative over time. It was a brilliant way to understand a problem, and Olga's method of documenting Eugene's health mirrored Darwin's and Alfred Wallace's approach to studying evolution. The more she thought about it, the more she realized that this was exactly the kind of scientific thinking that could help them understand what was truly happening with Eugene. Your approach, Dr. Sokolina said thoughtfully, is exactly how we should be looking at things. One small observation leads to another, and eventually you can see the whole picture. You are right about Darwin. He collected pieces of evidence from his travels and, over time, pieced them together to form an understanding of evolution. You're doing the same thing, Olga. You're trying to make sense of Eugene's symptoms by looking at the details. It's brilliant. Olga gave a small, appreciative nod, her expression softening. I'm just trying to understand what's going on, to connect the dots. Dr. Sokolina smiled gently, and you're doing it in the best way possible. This will help us understand Eugene's condition better, and from there, we can start thinking about the right treatment, the right next steps. This isn't the end of the road, it's just the beginning. Olga sat quietly for a moment, her eyes drifting toward the bedroom where Eugene was resting. She seemed lost in thought, but there was a flicker of hope in her gaze, as though, for the first time in a while, she felt like they might actually be able to solve this. Dr. Sokolina stood, preparing to leave. I'm going to meet Ina soon, she said, a slight smile on her face. I can't wait to bring all of these findings to another professional. There's so much to explore, and I think we'll make progress. But for now, you've taken the first step by documenting everything. That's important. That's how we'll make sense of it all. Olga nodded, her face filled with gratitude. Thank you, Dr. Sokolina. I really don't know where I'd be without you. But as she reached the door, her phone buzzed again, a text message. Dr. Sokolina glanced at the screen. A cold sense of unease settled over her as she read the name at the top, Ina,